there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I'm your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. Today, we are joined by Eric Hammond as City Council Member for Silverton in Marion County. In addition to his work in local government, Eric is deeply involved in a wide range of conservation efforts throughout his community. And he's here to share some of the exciting projects happening in Silverton, including a unique community-driven event called Oaktober, which celebrates and protects Oregon's native white oak trees. I'm so excited to have him take the time to chat with me today. So welcome, Eric, and thank you for joining me.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to our talk.
Well, I introduced you as a city council member, but your contributions go far beyond that, from serving on the Oregon Garden Board to being an international tree grower, certified arborist, and head grower at Heritage Seedlings. So can you share a little bit about your background and what led you to become so deeply involved in conservation and community work?
I went to university and got a degree in horticulture and ended up working and interning at a number of places in the U.S. and landed at Heronswood Nursery in Kingston, Washington. Happened to be just kind of down the street from where I grew up, and that was kind of a plant mecca, this amazing botanic garden nursery. Through that, I was able to travel to a lot of different places in the world, and all of those experiences, or seeing those plants, it always came back to seeing them in their natural environment. And well, when we're cultivating a plant, it's maybe because of the big flowers or whatnot. I tend to try to create a natural environment in my garden. It's very cultivated and it's very ornamental. But what's, I think, underneath that, or sort of driving my motivations, is that desire for wildness. So I was working at Heritage Seedlings, and 20 years ago, they were starting a native seed grow out and a business for producing native seeds to use in restoration in the prairies of the Willamette Valley, because they weren't available. And so the owner, Mark Krautman, he wanted to restore his prairie, and he sort of had to DIY it from the ground up. I wasn't working in that part of the business, but I was working alongside Linda Boyer, who manages that. And I just have learned so much being in that position, and that really deepened the love for it. And when I landed here in Silverton, which is really just in the middle of a old oak savanna, that oak savanna shines through the street infrastructure and the housing and all that. And then when we had a really severe ice storm in February of 2021, and a lot of the oak trees we lost, Kalapuya era oaks, there 60 something of them fell or were cut as a result of that. And so that really cemented my desire to help people understand what the oaks mean to Silverton and what the prairie ecosystem was and meant to Silverton in the Willamette Valley. Most people don't have an awareness of it. They didn't study horticulture. They're a doctor or whatever. They they just they don't know, and so they need to be taught, and trying my best to do that. And
yeah, well, I love your enthusiasm for oak preservation. I mean, it's clearly close to your heart. So, and we will get into that a little bit more, but I do want to kind of learn a little bit more about, as a city council member, what some of your top priorities are for improving your community, and how do some of those various roles, from even working as an arborist and even at Heritage Seedlings, how do those contribute to support those goals?
Well, there's nothing like a great big bill to make a person pragmatic. You see a lot of really, really large bills on the city council, and there's never enough money to pay for it all. I mean, kind of like your own household budget. There's this debt of obligation to the people that have voted, to your other citizens. So that really does make a person pragmatic and kind of sober-minded about the responsibility that's there. Some of my biggest concerns, just in general, revolve around water. We have two sources of water, the Silver Creek and Abiqua Creek, and those are both surface water, and we don't have any wells. And as anybody in Oregon knows, surface water sort of dries up in the summertime, and so I feel like we're particularly prone compared to cities that have groundwater wells. That's a big issue, coupled along with our water on the Abiqua comes from behind a very old dam, and the dam needs work, and it has a fish ladder that is woefully inadequate. And so, you know, if I had a full checkbook, we would fix that completely so the fish could get by and the city could have the water that it uses now. But there isn't enough money to pay for all that, plus the other stuff that we need to do. So, you know, building consensus and to prioritize projects like that on the council is I see as particularly important, and part of why I want to be there, because to elevate those, I don't know, environmental concerns and keep them in the forefront so that they're not swept aside, or that we don't always make the expedient decision to just, I don't know, for example, you know, putting another pipe in the river behind the dam and not doing anything about the dam, when the dam is the real problem, not the pipe. We've invested a lot of money into researching and drilling exploratory wells for aquifer storage and recovery, and that's where they take, it's sort of like a reverse well. They drill down to the aquifer, and rather than pumping water out, we would pump water in when we have excess. So stream flows are obviously very high in the wintertime, but we don't need more water. We actually need a little bit less water in the winter, but we have rights to millions of gallons a day. And so we could take that excess water and pump it into the aquifer. And then in the summertime, when stream flows are low and our need increases, we can access that stored water. So we're still in the preliminary parts of that investigation. We got a big grant from the state to do that research. And the well was finished up a month or so ago. And so we'll get the results back soon. You know, thinking carefully about long-term solutions, it's really important, right? It didn't just happen that all of the prairie disappeared, for instance. It took a long time. It's going to take a long time to fix things that are broken or pay for things that cost a lot of money.
Well, in addition to growing plants for a living, you have clearly worked to grow strong community roots around sustainability and environmental stewardship as well. And Marion Soil and Water Conservation District has collaborated with an organization in Silverton called Sustainable Silverton. So I'd love to kind of learn a little bit more about that organization. Can you tell us more about how this organization is ran and what kind of impact it's having on the community locally?
It's a group of a few passionate individuals. It was started by Charles Baldwin and Karen Garst, the other members of the board and myself, we each have our own area of interest. So it's a really interesting group. We have people that are focused on food system sustainability. We have one person that is very kind of hyper-focused on solar. We have transportation systems, local transportation systems focus. And so each of these areas, we kind of have subcommittees, and we did kind of brainstorm projects or classes, seminars that we can offer into the community. It's always free, just to, you know, help community members understand, for instance, about home solar. What does a project look like? How's it funded? And so we worked with a bunch of those solar folks and brought them in and put on this day-long project. We are trying to develop a pollinator garden over at this senior center, the 50 plus center. I get to teach them about prairies. I'll go there and I'll talk about prairies and what an oak savanna is supposed to be like, and how you can do that in your garden. In addition, we'll have a small plot of pollinator plants that would support local monarchs at the senior center. The group is a nonprofit. It's small. We have an email list, and we do a newsletter every month. Just talk about the upcoming events. We talk about, you know, if we had an event, we'll do a little review. Sometimes there's articles that somebody will write about topics of interest. Maybe there's new federal legislation coming down, or we're trying to encourage people to advocate on some topic within the state or even just in the county. We will bring that forward. You know, when you have a small town, you have to move a lot of small pieces in the same direction to move them all to the right side of the board. And that's Sustainable Silverton is trying to be one of those groups that are helping to move the parts. The civic culture in Silverton is very deep. I'm amazed constantly at the number of people involved in multiple groups and clubs, and the depth of the reach, or the depth of the lift that's being done by just the community for the community. I mean, maybe it's because we're a small town, kind of separated by a bunch of farm fields from the next town. You know, I don't know, but it's definitely different than any place I've ever lived. I like it a lot.
Well, one initiative that you have touched on a little bit so far, which is rooted in your passion for Oregon white oaks, is Oaktober, which encourages community science and connection to the local Oregon white oak trees. When is Oaktober planned to happen this year? And how do people show up, participate, get involved?
Well, we have a small newsletter, and it comes out through Sustainable Silverton. There is a website, Oaktober. .org. There's a calendar on the website. I need to update it. We're in process of nailing down the details on a number of different events. We're going to have a thing on October 11th at the Benedictine Brewery in Mount Angel. There's a cool oak grove next door to the brewery, so we can go have a beer and measure the oaks there. They're not very big, but hey, they're oaks, and they're beautiful. They're part of the beautiful scenery right there. And then we're going to have a couple of events at the Oregon Garden, and this is where we're still hammering out the details, so I don't have the dates on those yet, but another oak measuring event there in the Oak Grove. The Oak Grove at the Oregon Garden is quite prominent and very important. It hosts one of the heritage oaks for the state. It's the signature oak. I mentioned it earlier. It's a huge ancient tree, obviously in decline, but it'll probably be in decline for the next 50 years. So get out while you can and take a look and measure. Maybe it's seedlings that are already a couple hundred years old.
Just a quick update, if you are now joining us, I'm here with Eric Hammond, council member for the city of Silverton and nature enthusiast. And you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio on 88.5 and 100.7 FM and streaming on KMUZ.org. So I'm curious to hear more about how this event started. When does it usually take place, and how can people get involved?
I read that word October a few years ago, and it just sort of like a bomb went off in my head. It's like, this is just this one word encompasses the message that I've been trying to communicate to people through Sustainable Silverton and on the city council about oaks and the importance of oaks. Just that one word allowed me to sort of envision how I could communicate. Like, it was the vision statement, so to speak, that I could sort of hang the close of this project on. And so from there, I needed to figure out how to engage people to help them also become passionate about oak trees. And there was a lot of passion about oak trees in Silverton following the ice storm, because it was pretty devastating here. So I landed on this sort of citizen science piece where we can go as a group or individually, and we can measure the diameter of an oak, the circumference of an oak at breast height. We can estimate the height of the tree, the breadth of the canopy, and we can get that into a database, a spreadsheet. Put those trees on a map, and that physical measurement information allows us to estimate the carbon sequestration, the pollution offset, all those sort of monetary value things in the tree. I mean, the trees obviously have a greater social value than just the carbon they're offsetting. It's a fun, tangible way for, you know, little kids. They can participate up through adults, obviously, to engage with a tree in a way that they don't understand. For them to hear about the carbon value or the carbon, how much carbon the tree has, that's a totally new thing. For them to actually get that number for the tree in their backyard or the tree across the street in the park. Yeah, we have a map with all the trees that have been measured, and part of the celebration for October is to just go and do more of that mapping. And there's so many more trees in Silverton that could be added to the map. The biggest tree turned out to be at the grade school down the street from my house. It's the tree closest to the school building, and it's just phenomenal. The tree is really healthy. And it's big, it's huge. It's 17 feet in diameter, or in circumference, excuse me. And so, you know, trying to get that information to the school, to the kids, that, you know, like, this isn't just a tree next to your school. This is the biggest tree in the city. This is a really, there's a lot of value in that. And it, you know, of course, it's a pre-settlement tree. Because it's so big, they don't grow that fast. It's part of the Kalapuya epic. It's cultural heritage that we've received from the Kalapuya care of the valley.
So we just heard about the October event that you have launched, and you've been encouraging folks to participate in since the ice storm. And so now, wearing your arborist hat for a moment, do you have any tips for urban residents who want to help protect or care for their Oregon white oak trees in their own neighborhoods?
When we look at an oak tree, we, of course, are using our own timeline, and we don't understand how time kind of moves more slowly for the oak tree. If you're going to live as long as they do, 200, 300, 400 years, the processes are different. So irrigation... the Willamette Valley, of course, is a Mediterranean climate. We don't get much rainfall or hardly any meaningful rainfall in the summertime. And so the trees are completely adapted to drought and dry soils. They are fine with that. So if you have a tree that has grown up, it might be 50 or 100 years old or 200 years old, and it's grown every summer with no irrigation, and suddenly you come in and you put irrigation in, that might be fine 1 year, but repeatedly summer after summer, it changes the ecology of the soil, and over time, it kills the roots of the tree, and ultimately the tree will fall over, it'll die, but it takes a long time. And so this is where that timeline bit, people look at the tree and like, well, I've been watering it for 10 years and it's fine. Well, yeah, it's because it takes them so long to die, succumb to the root rot that irrigation starts. 100% of the oaks that fell in Silverton that tipped over, a lot of them broke, but the ones that tipped out of the ground and I can see the roots, 100% of those had root rot. It wasn't always because of irrigation, but root rot on the oaks, it can be a normal part of the process. And so irrigation can to tip it off. Don't irrigate your oaks. That's the number one care thing. Keep it at least 10 feet away from the trunk.
As I understand, oaks typically have really deep roots, right?
It's hard to see roots, right? They're all underground. Mm-hmm. And even when a tree falls over, like my neighbor's massive oak did in the ice storm, there's just a lot of the roots are broken. But what I can say is that none of the roots that are broken on any oak that I've seen toppled are particularly large. So now I'm going to come back to in the nursery where I grow about 10,000 Oregon white oak seedlings each year. We take that acorn and we plant it in a container. It's about the size of a soda can. And it's an air pruning container such that means a lot of the plastic of the container isn't there and the dirt is exposed. So as that root grows, it grows out of the soil, out the bottom of the container into the air, and the air kills the root tip that's outside the soil. And that allows us to grow a branched or fibrous rooted oak seedling. So if I don't do that and I just plant somebody just plants an acorn from an Oregon white oak, that root, the first year would be 18, 24 inches deep. The next year, a little deeper. But it seems like over time that it doesn't continue to, or it definitely doesn't continue to grow down. The lateral roots become more important over time and supplant the tap root. So they do have a tap root early in life, but no, they don't. They're not like carrots. They don't have one big root.
Okay. So I was just thinking just the bare root Oregon white oaks that I've seen tend to have like a longer taproot than most other tree types. And so I was wondering if, at least with newly planted like young seedlings, if you do bare roots for white oaks, if you irrigate those, does that stunt the growth of the roots because then they don't need to grow as deep down to find water? And then will that make them more susceptible to like toppling over in the future?
Well, just like any tree sapling that you're planting, you should plant or you should irrigate it deep and infrequent. So maybe twice a month, but 10, 15 gallons, depending on your soil type at one time, so that the soil profile is wet quite deep. That helps to encourage a deep, good structural root system versus irrigating it every day, just a little bit.
Okay. Well, beyond white oak preservation, what other types of conservation or pollinator focused projects are happening in Silverton that you're excited about?
Well, so Sustainable Silverton has a fun one that we have partnered with Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. We got a grant from them. Sustainable Silverton made the proposal to the city to put in a small pollinator garden on a city park. And we identified a spot that we wanted it. The city council unanimously supported that project. So the city just let us use this small piece of property in Old Mill Park, which happens to be next to the city library. It's a really prominent location in the park, and we were able to plant that, take care of the sod, and get some topsoil put in. We're not trying to do a restoration of the Willamette Valley. This is a cultivated garden of Willamette Valley native perennials that support pollinators. And so we planted that this spring. It doesn't look like much right now, but you know, a good Willamette Valley prairie is pretty much just all brown in the late summer. We'll get a lot of new growth next spring. We'll need to do infill. It will be a lot of milkweed or Asclepias speciosa and Asclepias fascicularis. They're the exclusive food for monarch butterfly larvae. So, you know, the conversation about why monarchs are declining is a really big, complex one, but I don't need to solve that. Silverton's not going to solve that, but we can plant a few monarch butterfly supporting plants in the city park. And this is sort of a demonstration project that Sustainable Silverton, we would love, Sustainable Silverton would love to see unused city parkland filled with Willamette Valley native plants. You know, it used to be a prairie. Why does it not function as one now? We would love to see that, but we can't just go make that proposal. We have to demonstrate that it's what's possible. And so this project's, you know, that the first step in that part of pragmatic, slow consensus building that is this weird thing called politics. kind of dysfunctional at the national level, but you know, I can do my part to make it work here.
Well, that's great. So do you have any other maybe upcoming events or news you'd like to share, or even just words of wisdom or inspiration for folks listening in?
Don't be overwhelmed by how big some of these projects might seem. Individually, I'm not going to go restore a prairie. I just have a small little city lot, and I grow a lot of native plants in there. And they're beautiful, and they support all these amazing native pollinators. And really, that part of my garden that does it is about 10 square feet and completely approachable by just about anybody if you've got a little bit of space. So I encourage everybody to just plant a few native seeds. Start with Farewell to Spring, maybe some tarweed, and go from there. And if you have space, you can plant an oak tree.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This was such a fun talk. I feel like we could definitely keep going for another hour, but unfortunately we do have to end it there. But yeah, I learned a lot. I'm really excited to see what else Silverton gets up to and for the upcoming October events and and just how your plans develop. So thank you again so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you. It was fun.
I've been talking with Eric Hammond, arborist, city council member, plant grower, and founder of Oaktober, about the importance of community involvement in protecting our environment and natural resources. And I am your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner for the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. And thank you for tuning into this episode of Conservation Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed our conversation on community-based stewardship in the city of Silverton. Every effort counts, and together we can make a difference in conserving our natural resources.